We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
Hello, and welcome to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Johnny!
Hey, how's it going, man? Feels like it's been forever since I did a show after
I've
been out sick or surgery, recovering from my surgery and stuff, so it's awesome to be back.
I'm very glad you are, and yeah, we missed, I think we only missed one show ultimately because of thanks to that extra credit segment, so that was good.
Nice.
And we've got lots to catch up on. My goodness.
Absolutely.
I guess the one we really want to get to today is an interview that was done between Eric Enge with Matt Cutts. And I really liked this interview. Eric's an amazing interviewer. He always seems to get to the heart of the matter. And he does it in a way that there's enough to talk about, even though he's not really giving anything. Like, he's not asking Matt to give the secret or the algorithm. You know, it's
more reasonable. You always have to ask. You just know he's never going to answer.
Yeah.
Because there is a question in this interview where Matt's like, I can't talk about that.
Yeah. I do. Someone's going to slip him something someday and he'll just say everything.
Exactly.
Everyone will be like, what the? So, I don't know. I guess, should we just get into it? What I wanted to do, everyone, was just walk through the interview and the highlights that I thought were really interesting and might give you a little perspective on what it means to get rankings these days with Penguin and Panda in play. And yeah, they're playing together. Yeah.
Black and white. Tundra.
Yeah. So one thing I really liked that Eric put in here was an example of how content can look different, but actually says the same thing. So the example he gives is the first one here is, here is some info on frogs. Frogs are green. Frogs live in water. Frogs like to jump. Frogs are not toads. Thanks for reading our article on frogs. And the next part, which is actually saying the same thing, but is written differently, is frogs are interesting creatures partly because they are green. Many people do not realize that they are not toads. Frogs like to jump and live in water. And what he's demonstrating here is that even though these are different, they're not duplicate content, Google can tell that they are essentially not saying anything differently.
And I'd like to step back, though, and say, yes, based on what Matt's saying here, they are duplicate content. Just because they're not worded exactly the same thing, the information that's given in those two examples are exactly the same, even though they're phrased differently, and the engines are going to start considering that duplicate content. Not in the traditional form of duplicate content that we think about where you get filtered out because it's exactly the same content, but in the fact that the algorithms today are looking at the information provided on a page. In this particular case, it's the exact same information. It's going to be treated similarly to traditional duplicate content, where if somebody else has a page that has new and unique information, that's going to get priority over these two.
Yeah, it says while they're not duplicates, they bring nothing new to the table. And that's what they're looking for. These sites are not bringing additional value. And what I really liked about this is there's so many people out there right now, and I'm dealing with a ton of it at this very moment with Penguin and Panda has totally brought new clients out of the fold for Stuff Where, like people that are just coming in by the droves, which is fantastic. We love it. However, it's a lot of it's the work of cleaning up this kind of stuff. And it's a lot of work, man. And a lot of it's convincing clients that this is not unique content.
Right, and I know you read the quote in Eric's where they kind of set the side quote where it says, while they are not duplicate, they bring nothing to the table. But if you dig into Matt's answer specifically, at the last paragraph he says, Google would seek to detect that there's no real differentiation between these results and show only one of them so we could offer users different types of sites in other search results. So by that answer, he's treating these the same way they would treat traditional exactly duplicated content. Even though they're worded differently, they're formatted differently, they're the same thing. And
yeah,
that's what they're trying to get across.
Yeah, exactly. He's not calling it duplicate, but it's being treated the same way. Yes.
Exactly.
And that's what people need to understand. This stuff, you know, you can't just reword something and hope that's going to be enough to get past algorithms. It doesn't work that way, quote unquote, anymore.
Yeah.
There was a time.
There was definitely a time. And it really just comes down to they're getting so much smarter, not just about, you know, looking at an algorithm saying, well, these two sentences are exactly the same, so they're duplicate. Now they're at the point where they say, these two pages say the exact same thing, even though they're not word for word, they're providing the exact same information. So yes, they're duplication. They're so much smarter now than they used to be.
Yeah, and you know what I really loved was not the next part here, because that's really just whatever. It was the one that I've got there that's highlighted in green. It says, he talks about e-commerce sites. He says, I also see a lot of e-commerce sites, aggregator sites out there. What about them? This is Eric saying this. Well, Matt said it's really the same type of issue. They need to ask themselves what really is their value add, and that is dead on. It's the hardest thing I deal with working with e-commerce clients because they all say the same thing. Well, we're all running off the same catalogs. So what are we supposed to do? Write every single different definition for every product?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, ideally, yes. It's not feasible for some clients. It's just simply not. But you have to find something else that differentiates you.
It is feasible if they want to compete, if they want to spend the resources to do better than their competitors. Yes, it is feasible to write one for every single product, even if you have a million products. If you're selling a million different products and you're making money or you have potential to make money off a million different products, take the time, take the resources, find the ones that you're getting beat on and write your own unique content for those.
We work in different worlds, man. There's no way a small business can afford to do that to 20 to 30,000 products. But what they can do is find something else that differentiates them from the competition and build on that. They can do it on their top products and maybe slowly work away at them, but there's no way they can afford to do that all at once.
That's fine, but they have to realize that if their competitors do that, they're going to get beat, period.
No, that's not true. If they have a differentiator, something else within their e-commerce system that makes them stand out, then they're going to get more attention.
If they have a competitor selling the exact same product on a product page that has the exact same content, describe to me what the differentiator you're talking about is.
Differentiator could be as simple as someone I can't claim to know what the exact, well, I wouldn't even say it on the air if I did because it'd be a good idea, but a differentiator would be enough that someone would say, oh, this is the site that I like to go to, and hey check these guys out enough. If the truth of the matter is that there's enough really good quality links out there pointing to someone, they're going to get above the other guy if their content's the same,
if they're deep links. Yes. Yeah, but you know, if their content's exactly the same.
Stuttering.
I'm just trying to say because I've been working really me personally philosophically when it comes to SEO. I'm really at the point now where I'm getting to think that while links themselves are still an important part of the SEO equation, link building itself is dying, if not going to be dead within the year.
Definitely.
The idea of link building. So if you're telling a small business to do link building to differentiate themselves, to me, you're leading them down the wrong path.
I didn't say that, though.
You just said that the links are...
The links are generated. They're not building them. They just got good content. Even Matt says later on in this actual article that you build brand by promoting things and the links that happen naturally.
But you're contradicting yourself. You're saying we've got two pages, same product, same descriptions. You say deep links to those products are what's going to differentiate them, but you're not going to get deep links to that product unless you're doing link building because they're exactly the same as the other guy.
It's not true. What, have you not heard of branding? Come now, John.
It's that thing you do to brand yourself. Yeah, I know.
I think everyone's loving this.
I know. But what I'm saying is you're being a bit optimistic that if you have 30,000 products as a small business, your competitor has 30,000 products as a small business, you're going to be able to differentiate yourself enough through branding to get more deep links to individual product pages than your competitor. That's not how it works. That's how we would love it to work. That's in theory, that would be great if it worked that way, but you're not going to get enough deep links to make a difference that way. You're going to have to separate yourself via content.
You don't need a lot of deep links necessarily. It can be,
if you have 30,000 products,
just search engine rankings either. We're also talking about what makes a company survive. It could be a really good link from a good site that's sending a ton of business. Ultimately, those people turn into, people backing, I love it, fans, fans of the site. And they're going to ultimately build, you know, it's just the way any good company builds an image. You know, when it comes down to it, if you do a good product, or, you know, sell a good product, have good customer service, and you have your brand is created well, it will work that way. Now, I know pure SEO, if you're talking the absolute purest, there's no branding involved, then obviously content is going to have to be different. You're right. But that's not a way businesses run.
And I think part of our disagreement here is in general sites and general businesses, I tend to lean the same way you're leaning. I agree with you. E-commerce product-driven sites that are specifically relying on selling 30,000 products or getting traffic to 30,000 different products, they work a little bit different. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to leverage that branding at the deep product level as easily as a site that's selling services, for example. Because the architecture of those sites is so much broader. There's so many more paths, so much broader, that you can't build weight at the top of the domain and have it distributed to 30,000 products enough to make a difference.
No, not from the top. There's no doubt.
Yeah. So from a services type of product services business, where there's somebody that's got, you know, maybe even 100 pages of products and services that they offer, that's a lot different. And I definitely lean the way that you're talking and agree with you that you could do that with branding and organic natural link building. E-commerce is a different story. You're really going to have to rely on that content differentiation, because especially in a field where you've got not just one or two competitors selling the same product, where you've got hundreds of competitors using the same description and the same content provided by the manufacturers in their catalogs, in their online catalogs, you got to differentiate yourself at the product level. You really do.
Well, and I'm not disagreeing that that's ideal, but I'm going to give you an example where this has worked without doing that. I'm trying not to give away this client. I'm trying to think here. Okay, let's say a motorcycle helmet company has a lot of product in there. And it's a nice site, first of all. Usability, all those things have been taken into account. When people get there, they stick. It's a really well-done site. But what they did is
that helps too, actually.
Yeah, big time. They created a set of videos that would demonstrate the benefits of each product, not all the products, but the top selling products. And they became quite well known for these videos. And so this is sort of a sideways approach, right? People would link to these videos on YouTube. People would link to them on their site because they'd ultimately get taken to the site through clever marketing within the videos. And they've built a huge following, but their content isn't much different, if anything, almost duplicated to, because they've got so many bloody pages. I mean, it's just, it's exhausting. And this is what I specialize in, because I'm dealing with clients who don't have the money necessarily yet to go through every single page. They have managed to get the kind of clout they needed to get these other products found, and they're doing very well from it. Now, they do have rankings for them, too, because people have built the love for this site, and links, in other words, votes of confidence, have just naturally appeared.
See, and I love that example because, to me, that's where our industry as SEOs, that's where we're headed. I mean, yeah. You look at some of the major players in our industry, Rand Fishkin, even the guys at Blue Glass, all these people are moving away from link building, on-page stuff, into content marketing, into inbound marketing, which is exactly what you just described. Yeah. And that's where our industry is headed as a whole, in my opinion, without a doubt. Right.
Oh, I totally agree. I love this. This is a good episode so far. I'm having fun. Okay, but on that note, let's take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to delve into more of these great interview questions from Eric Enge.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Join the thousands of search and social media marketers at one of the largest events of the year, SES San Francisco 2012, August 13th through the 17th. Learn more at sesconference.com. SES San Francisco 2012 kicks off 3 days of sessions with a keynote presentation by Google digital marketing evangelist Avinash Kaushik, speaking about business optimization in a digital age. Check out daily Meet the Expert roundtables, where you can take part in intimate and informative discussions with industry icons. Add over 70 sessions, a crowded expo floor, on-site training at the ClickZ Academy, the Big Search Engine Watch Eliminator,
goodbye,
and WebmasterRadio.fm Search Bash, and you'll have SES San Francisco 2012, August 13th through the 17th. Register for SES San Francisco 2012 today by clicking on the banner ads from the WebmasterRadio.fm website, or go now to sesconference.com.
How far do your ads reach? You don't have to fly around the world for the right consumers and clients to find your business. What you need is profit through performance. Location 3 Media helps you to increase your brand's findability and performance. Let Location 3 Media help you create efficient and effective online marketing campaigns that fit your needs and get you results. We know every click starts a journey. Where will your brand be on the path? Visit Location3Media.com.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text radio to 21691. That's radio to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Your virtual webmaster frat house.
WebmasterRadio.fm. Hey, bring your togas.
WebmasterRadio.fm.
Thanks for listening. WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So we were last talking about, let me jump. I've got this mouse issue. Have you had this mouse issue yet? It's driving me crazy on Chrome, where all of a sudden you flick the mouse wheel and it goes down like window by window instead of just small movements.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, I've read about it, and apparently it's an emerging bug, and it's driving me crazy. I love using my mouse wheel. So I flick it, and all of a sudden I'm at the bottom of this page, which is a long page.
Nope. I hope that one doesn't hit me. Not a doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to take the next one?
Let's see. We talked about the e-commerce rather enthusiastically. Hey, can you tell I haven't done a show in a few weeks? I'm really fired up today for some reason.
Ditto. This is great.
Kind of tied into that. I know it's down further in the interview, but it kind of fits in the same conversation we were just talking about. They talk a little bit about sites and places that have multiple locations, and they have like locations in 60 cities. And how do you differentiate that? And Matt really said kind of what we said. He said, you know, you have to have a page for each city, of course, but people were like, well, what if they don't want to create content for 60 cities? It's all the same. Or you say, we have a great store in Birmingham and we also do this, that, and the other. And the next page says, we have a great store in New Orleans and we do this, that, and the other. You know, you don't want to do that. But he says, still just create two or three sentences of unique content about each location, but everything else can be the same. So there was a lot of discussion actually in the comments of this article about that comment, where just two or three sentences that are unique to each page or each location on the site. You know, if you've got 60 locations, the only difference is the address and the phone number and the contact information and two or three sentences, wouldn't that be considered thin content, especially in after Panda, and have like 60 pages of site, you know, kind of discounted? And Matt pretty much said, no, two or three sentences about what's unique to that location should be fine. And that's a quote. And Eric asked, he said, wouldn't this be seen as thin? And he said, no, something like that should be fine. In a related situation, he talks about a writer was providing content for gyms and how, you know, if you had four gyms in the same city and you did that, that could be an issue. So it's really interesting how, in one hand, at the beginning, Arnold, he's talking about you need to have really distinct content on a page to make it differentiate itself. And then you get back down into this other section where he's saying, you know, you really only need two or three sentences for all these locations. What that tells me is they're understanding the intent of the page. So the intent of these pages as location pages, they understand that's what that intent is, and they're going to treat them a little bit different than they would treat another page on the site. And I think that goes back to our conversation about e-commerce too, Ross, because they'll understand the intent. They know that this page is an e-commerce page, it's a product page, and that this product's going to be sold by a bunch of different people, and that, you know, if you can tweak two or three sentences, it's enough to give you that distinction to separate yourself from the pack.
Or have a differentiator. Well, you know, you just jumped right down to the climax of the darn thing. That was the best part of this thing.
I know,
anyway,
but it was tied into what we were talking about, so I thought it made sense to talk about it then.
And the reason I say that is I think this was the most revealing info. It was fascinating, and I know that was what really generated the most buzz online. The fact that this wouldn't be considered thin is pretty impressive. Now, I'd like to see examples of that, in fact, content like that ranking low. I'd really like to, because it does seem almost mildly optimistic on Matt's part. But have you seen – I haven't seen anything that thin show up.
I haven't either. But to me, the telling part is, because of his description and the way he says it, is – they're treating pages differently based on what they intend, what they see as the intention of the page. What is that page supposed to be, and what's its purpose? And they treat it differently based on that.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely the most revealing part of this, but I want to jump back up here before we keep back in line here.
Well, I actually think that the link building thing is just as revealing. So if that's what you're getting to.
Yeah, let's see here. Got to get back to the right spot in my damn mouse here. right. Well, one of the things he says is that there's a lot of discussion in certain circles that Google loves brands. That's one thing that Eric brought up. Oh, for Pete's sake, my damn mouse. Not going to touch the mouse. Okay. He says, first off, Matt has said.
I have a hint here. Here's a hint real quick. There's these things on your keyboard called arrow keys. They work really good too.
You know what? I'm going to do that. It's funny. I actually do forget to do that. okay. It says Google does. This is Matt's response. It says Google does try to mirror the real world, quote unquote. We try to reflect the real world importance of things as we see that reflect What? Things. See, is this bad grammar or what?
Yeah. It's a typo.
Okay. We try to reflect the real world importance of things as we see that reflected in the web. See that for anyways, whatever in the real world, they try and reflect that on the web. Brands sometimes are an indicator that people see value, but it isn't the only way that people see value. So he's trying to say that, yes, it happens. And he doesn't say it a lot, even though it does happen a lot. And they just try and mirror the real world. I think they could do better than the real world personally, but so be it. Now, one of the things, and I guess I will have to jump down a bit here because I really like this one, was the discussion about where is it here? The quality, where is it? Quality. Query deserves diversity.
Yeah, I've been using that for years, so I think that's great that that's finally coming back into public consciousness in the industry, because QDD has been around for really, literally years and years, and people forget about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was used a different way. I haven't heard query deserves diversity. I've heard it put another way. I can't remember what it was, but. Yeah, it's anyway, let's get to the meat of this. As Eric Enge says, Google has compelling reasons for offering diverse results. Understanding this could offer new online businesses a way in the door. In the past, people have referred to this as query deserves diversity. Matt says, yes, this is part of how our algorithm does. It works to find quality diverse results that help some solve problems for users. So he says, and I push this all the time with new. I get a lot of people who also contact me who want help figuring out what to do with their business in terms of even creating a business. And they're going for the brass ring right off the bat. You don't do that. You just don't. You got a new site. You've got to go for the niche. You got to go long tail. Well, that's geek SEO speak for the fact that you have to pick a niche, something that you're not going to have to go head to head with big guys on. And that's exactly what he says here. Establish a reputation in that niche, become a leader in it, and then expand into going head-to-head. And it's dead on. And a lot of people don't do that. Fortunately for the listeners here, because you know by now you already know that you have to focus on a niche or find something that you're not going head-to-head on. But this is valuable, and I hope it woke up a few people when they read this.
Excellent. And I think the next section on here was one of my favorite parts of this interview, where they really started digging into thinking about link building.
Oh, yeah.
And I really love some of the information that came out of this. You know.
Well, we got to hold on that. Let's go take a break.
All right, fine.
Brasco ringing our bell here. Okay, so let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll get into John's notes on link building.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Podcasting at the speed of sound.
WebmasterRadio.fm, the flamethrower.
WebmasterRadio.fm, we're everywhere.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. And fire away, John.
So that's probably not a good term to use today after the events in Colorado. Oh, so.
Thanks. That was very nice of you.
Yeah. link building. So Eric starts talking about link building, and really I love the way he enters this conversation by talking about how link building is a phrase that misleads people. It really does. And his example is a bit of putting the cart before the horse. People think about link building as, this is what I got to do. This is how I have to do it. I have to really dig into link building. And his point is, by thinking this way, you're off on the wrong foot before you even get started. And Matt's like, that's right. If you're in that mindset, you get focused on the wrong things from the get-go. Kind of like Ross was just saying earlier before the break, where you have to step into things gradually. If you're jumping into your main focus from an SEO standpoint in the beginning is link building, you're putting the cart before the horse. You have to have something to build links to. It's think about building an excellent product before you start building links to it. And that's what Matt's comments was. So Eric came back and said, well, so instead of thinking about it as link building, think about it as PR or marketing. And that's a great way. And when they talked about it from that perspective, the article really talks about focusing on activities that are brand building. And Eric puts out a great list of places people have gone to get links that are not brand building. And these are some of the standard link building techniques that everybody uses, but they're not brand building. They're just about links. And it's great. The examples are article directories, cheap directories, link wheels, blog networks, any sites that don't care about editorial quality of their content. And it's like finding those types of links are just going to cause you problems. And especially when you think about it from that perspective of building links that are not related to brand building, the odds are very good that those are the kind of links that Google are going to discount and go after first. We already know they've gone after blog networks. Link wheels haven't worked in I don't know how long. But article directories, article marketing is on its way out. It's not even really – it's on its last legs if it's not already dead. So those kind of things, it's really great that they talked about this. So the interesting thing to me, the one that got me the most, is infographics. Matt is – saying that they're a little bit worried about infographics to the point where people are starting to use them so much just for link building that they're embedding links in these things and people are publishing without knowing they're sending links back. Then Matt even talks about the idea that they might be start treating them like they do widgets at some point where they're not even going to count the links in infographics. So the idea that because us as an industry have started abusing infographics, that technique could easily be going away and not be valuable anymore in the eyes of the engines.
For links,
yes. Right. They can still drive traffic, but we're talking about link building.
Right, exactly. And I just wanted to make that distinction because I'm going to still pitch infographics big time, or maybe a little less so, but still quite a bit for clients because I do think if it's done right, and Matt talks about quality here, you've got to make sure that your facts are right and it's good quality, you're not misleading people. So in other words, any political ones, don't even bother posting, but in any case, I think it's got a lot of power. I think it's going to be really interesting, and I don't blame them at all for discounting the links. There's a lot out there, and I actually did a competitor analysis a way back where a site had literally killed its competition because they did one infographic that happened to do well. Yep. That's it. That's pretty astounding. That's a lot of power to give one marketing tactic, and they've got to balance that now.
But if you look at the big picture of the conversation about links, the thing to take away is that links are not about links anymore. I mean, we've known for years that the whole thing about linking, it's more about quality than quantity. But now it's not even about just quality. Links are about how does it relate to your brand? Is it something that makes sense? Is it really an organic type of thing? I think, like I said earlier, I think the idea of link building as a craft is on its death's door. It's the idea of doing that is becoming harder and harder to do it well. The fact that so many people don't do it well and just build links out of whatever they can find links on is hurting our industry. It's making the engines themselves crack down on it, link building as a whole, which makes it harder for the people to do it right. I think it's a link building is a very, very fragile piece of our industry right now that's going to break soon, very soon.
Yeah, we actually haven't changed the name on it yet, but we're working. We've created a whole new package for quote unquote link building. In other words, it's going out the window. We're calling it community building, and it is completely different. We're focusing entirely upon creating buzz around brands, creating product and interest and content and such that really makes people want to talk about your brand, which happens to be part of what Google's looking at now, and it's going to be doing more so over the next little while. So if anyone's interested in that, let us know. It's a powerful program, and we're pretty excited to be launching it, and you can be one of the first. We'll even give you a discount if you come on first, so let me know. But
cool. Yeah, I'll be calling.
What's that? There you go. So that's stepforth.com, STEPFORTH.com. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is ross@stepforth.com, and you can reach John via Twitter @JohnCarcutt. Thanks for joining us today on SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, and be sure to tune in next week at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Monday. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm.